Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. It's wonderful to be here. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else today. This is exactly the place I want to be. So praise the Lord for that. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to worship God for a while. Then we're going to study His Word. But before we do anything, I'm going to pray because we need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy will would be done today. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here in a mighty way. We ask that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing Thy praises, as we worship Thee, as we study Thy Word. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst help us, that Thou wouldst inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and truth. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst truly be here with us today. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number one in the hymnal, the Melodies of Praise hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. You know, there is no name greater than that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is so important to glorify His name. In fact, why don't we go to number 107 and sing glory to His name. 107.
Glory to
His name, praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord.
Glory to God. He is our victorious Savior.
Glory,
praise the Lord. He rose from that grave and he lives today. Glory to God.
Praise
the Lord. Why don't we sing number 86? He lives. To impart, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the storms. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and say, eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. Jesus lives, dear me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord God.
Glory to God. Our God is alive today. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Show us what to do with you. Oh, living God, you are. Yes, you are, Jesus. All praise.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, we're going to try singing a song that I don't think we've sang for a very long time, and hopefully I can remember how it goes, but we're going to go for it. Number 293 in the hymnal, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
Oh, yes, that's the name we want, Lord. Oh,
the name of Jesus with you. We need that name.
Oh, God,
that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord. Complete yourself in us,
Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Nice meeting everybody. Oh, bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Nice to see everybody. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here, that Thou hast helped us in so many ways, that Thou hast provided for our needs. For we know that we would not be here today without Thy guidance, Thy direction, and Thy help. And we thank Thee for these gifts. We ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here today, and we also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. And we ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, but this time it's going to be a song in the chorus book. And I just need to make sure I have the right number here. I believe I do. Yes, number 178 in the chorus book. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master. Everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd.
bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, on that note, it is time to get started in the Word this morning. Praise the Lord. And you may have noticed a theme throughout the song service, and that is the wondrous name of our Lord, which is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no name mightier than that name. In fact, it is the most powerful name in the entire universe. And that's something we're going to be looking at today. I've titled this message, A Name Which Is Above Every Name. And we're going to be starting in the 28th chapter of Matthew to begin with. Before I read even one verse, though, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance and Thy direction, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst anoint this service today. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here throughout the entire process of this service, each and every point of the way. And we ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. We ask that Thou wouldst open our hearts to receive Thy Word. We ask that Thou wouldst give us understanding. For we know that we are completely helpless without Thee, and we know that by Thy mighty name we can have salvation. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art here, for we know that Thou hast promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And we know that Thou art here today. O Lord, we ask, O God, that Thou hast presided over this entire service. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to be starting in the 28th chapter of Matthew this morning. And of course, this is an exciting chapter. This is a chapter that should excite each and every one of us when we read it, because it tells us about the resurrection of our Savior. Yes, He went to the cross and He was crucified there, and He died on that cross. But He had no sin of His own. He took our sins upon Himself, and so the grave could not contain Him. And He rose from that grave after 3 days and three nights. Praise the Lord. And in this 28th chapter, that's where we are at that point in the story. He had just risen from the dead, and His disciples were about to find this out. If you can just imagine the joy that must have flooded their soul when they realized what had just happened. Matthew 28, verse 1 tells us, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." So, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it tells us, they went to visit that grave. They were no doubt mourning and grieving over the loss of Jesus, but it wasn't really a loss, and they were about to find that out. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." You know, they put that big, enormous stone in front of that tomb. They put Caesar's seal on it, daring anyone to try and open it. And then that angel came along. And you know, it probably didn't take a lot of effort for him, because angels are very strong, and he just sat down on top of it. And that just shows what he thought of Caesar's authority. You know, Caesar did not have authority over angels.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You can imagine the keepers of those of that grave. As you may remember from the story, the Pharisees and the religious elite of that day would just ask for the crucifixion of Jesus. He was buried. They asked for soldiers to watch over the grave because they remembered what Jesus had said, how that he would rise again after 3 days and three nights. And they thought, well, if we put this big stone in front of it, put Caesar's seal on it, put some soldiers here to guard it, well, nothing will happen then, right? Wrong. So there were soldiers watching over that. That's what it means by the keepers. And when they saw what had happened, they were shaking. That would shake a person up. All of a sudden, there's an earthquake, and that enormous stone is rolled away. What would you do? You would probably shake a little. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He wasn't there anymore. He rose from that grave. He is risen. He's still risen today. Praise the Lord. At this point, he had been glorified. And now, people were going to learn about the mighty name of Jesus. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So he tells these two Marys, go out and tell the disciples. Tell them that Jesus is risen from the grave. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Praise the Lord. You know, there's nothing wrong with worshiping Jesus. In fact, you should do that every day, because Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. You know, when he was on earth in the form of a man, he was both man and God. Man on the outside, but inside him was the very Spirit of God dwelling inside him. God and man. So, yes, it's a good thing to worship the Lord. And when his disciples saw him after he had risen from that grave, if you can imagine their excitement, they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Praise the Lord. How exciting. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So he's telling them, you're going to see me again. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. These soldiers, they were in a precarious situation themselves, because ordinarily a situation like that, if you had been charged with guarding a grave, and that grave was opened, and that body was no longer in the grave, if it was your job to guard that grave, well, you were going to be in serious trouble. In fact, under normal circumstances, you'd probably be killed for it by the authorities, the powers that be in the Roman Empire there. They didn't mess around. But these keepers of the grave, these soldiers who were watching it, they came and they told the priests what had happened. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. There's no way his disciples could have come along and moved that massive stone. In fact, the way they did that in those days, the stone, it was on a hill, on an incline, and they would roll it down on the grave, and that would secure the tomb there. So what they're saying is the disciples came along by night while the watch was guarding the grave, Caesar's seal on it, and they rolled it up that hill by themselves and stole the body of Jesus. That is utterly ridiculous, but you know what? Jews still say that very thing today. Even to this day, they're still saying that's what happened. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They're still saying that's what happened even to this day. But in verse 16 it tells us, then the 11 disciples, remember there's 11 now because Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see that there? All power is given to the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say some power. It doesn't say a third of power. It says all power. So that name of Jesus holds all the power today over all heaven and all earth. There is no name mightier than that name of Jesus, because Jesus has all power. Not some, not a portion, but all power. It's important that we realize that and remember that. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of times in these days when churches baptize you, they'll just repeat that command and not actually do it. And you just say, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But who is the Father? Who is the Son? Who is the Holy Ghost? What is the name that encompasses all three of those? The Lord Jesus. In fact, if you go to the book of Isaiah and read in the 9th chapter, verse 6, it tells you that Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. If you go and you read John chapter 14, Jesus identifies himself as the Holy Ghost, as that comforter. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we understand that Jesus, yes, he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. And that name... that name, there's no name mightier than that name. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise the Lord, he's still with us today. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that? He hasn't forsaken us, he hasn't gone off somewhere, he's still with us.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
So we see here that Jesus holds all power, not just a little bit. All power. And we're going to look at that power in action. We're going to look at the power of the name of Jesus. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 3. We are going to see that power of that name in action. Acts chapter 3. Now this, obviously in the third chapter, this was right after chapter 2 where we read about Pentecost so many times before. And God was moving in a mighty way. In fact, thousands of souls were being saved. We're going to see that in this third chapter as well. It was an exciting time. You know, back then the harvest, it was a lot bigger than the harvest you see today. Thousands coming to the Lord Jesus, but you know, you rarely, if ever, see a group of, say, 5,000 who believe on the Lord Jesus all in one place anymore. That's a rare sight. But in the book of Acts chapter 3, we're going to learn about what that precious name, that all-powerful name of Jesus can do. Acts chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So there was this man here, he would lay at the gate called Beautiful at the temple, and he would ask alms because he was lame. He couldn't walk. But it tells us in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. So this man, he looked on them, he must have thought he'd get a few coins or something, a little bit of money, but he was going to get something far better than that. Praise the Lord. So they tell them, look on us. And verse 5 tells us, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And something of them he did receive, for sure. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, the power of that name. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. That Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So when you speak that name, and if that name belongs to you, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've been buried in His name, that name belongs to you, and you can use that name. There is power in that name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Everybody saw it. They knew what just had just happened. They heard that name of Jesus Christ being spoken, and they saw that man rise up. And he wasn't just hobbling around a little bit. He was walking and leaping and praising God. A man who had never walked before. He had been lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. And yet he was walking and leaping and praising God. That's a miracle. Because, you know, little babies, when they're born, they don't just start walking right away. They have to learn how to do that. But this man was able to walk right away. Praise the Lord. That's what the power of the name of Jesus can do. And people saw this. They knew what had just happened. They heard that name being spoken. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. See, they recognized this man. He had been there. This was his daily routine. He would go to that gate called Beautiful and he would ask alms. So they knew him and they saw him walking and leaping and praising God. What a witness! What a testimony to the power of the name of Jesus. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, and that porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Peter's telling them, it wasn't us, we didn't do it, it was Jesus. Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. If you remember the story, Pilate, he wanted to release Jesus. He could find no fault with him, but that angry mob, but they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But you know what? Jesus was risen. He was glorified. He was victorious in all power. Belong to the Lord Jesus. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You know, the Prince of Life isn't going to stay dead, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So he's telling him about that. He's telling his crowd about that wonderful name of Jesus, that powerful name of Jesus, and that what can happen when you have faith in that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, if we really had enough faith to believe it, Jesus can do anything for us. Anything. There's nothing too hard for him. Praise the Lord. There's nothing that he cannot do. Praise God. So Peter is telling them, through faith in his name. That's why this man was walking and leaping and praising God, because he had faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And we know that that had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. You can read all about it. The book of Psalms, the book of Isaiah, elsewhere in the Scriptures. It tells us about Jesus. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was hope for these people. He was telling them, you can repent. You could receive salvation from the Lord Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Him. Turn away from your evil and wicked ways. Repent. Praise the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Praise the Lord. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You know, those who will not hear the Lord Jesus, those who will not obey Him, are going to be destroyed. The Scriptures tell us that. It's not like the Unitarians believe that everyone's going to be saved. That's ridiculous. In fact, they believe that even the devil will be saved. What a bunch of nonsense. No, those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus, they will not be saved. That's the only way to salvation, the Lord Jesus. Verse 24, Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. We read about that prophecy, didn't we? In the book of Genesis, when we were studying that just recently, how He made that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And that promise did come to pass. Praise the Lord. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Praise the Lord. We can turn away from our iniquities. We can do that today. Glory to God. If you have any iniquity, get rid of it. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue on in chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now this was a mighty miracle that had been done in the name of Jesus. And people were believing on that name. Thousands of them, in fact. But the Sadducees, they didn't like that. They especially didn't like that Peter and John were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That was one of their things. They did not believe in the resurrection, so this was upsetting to them. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even time. What do you do with a couple of guys who are out there working miracles in the name of Jesus? Well, you throw them in prison. That was their reasoning anyway. They didn't know what else to do. They were worried. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Praise the Lord, 5,000 people believed on the Lord Jesus just that day, if you can imagine. And that was before the time of television and radio and so forth and the internet. And yet 5,000 souls were reached that day. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. You may recognize some of those names, because some of those names are people who were actually responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. They put Him on trial. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So he's telling them, you want to know what name? The name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's why that man stands before you whole today, because of the power of the name of Jesus. They thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. They crucified Him. And He did die, but He rose from that grave. And now His Spirit, His Holy Ghost, had come upon these disciples. And they were preaching the name of Jesus. And they were working miracles by the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he was just as alive now as he had been before. They weren't going to get rid of him that easy, and he's still alive today. He's still working miracles. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name that's going to work, folks. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only name. Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only name that has the power. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28, he had all the power in heaven and in earth. That's why that name is so mighty. Praise the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name that's going to do it. It's just Jesus. That's the only name that has the power. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, Peter and John, they had never been to seminary. They were unlearned men. They didn't have a great education, but they had been with Jesus. And they believed on him and they had the power of his name. They had that name with them and they could use that name because it belonged to them. When you belong to Jesus, you can use that name. Just as Peter and John used that name back here, you can still use that name today. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Well, what can you say? A wonderful miracle had been wrought. This man who had been lame, he was healed. And there was nothing they could say against it. But they wanted to stop this preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were going to try to put a stop to that. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they're saying, we can't deny that this miracle happened, that it was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. See, they hated that name of Jesus because there was power in that name. And the devil hates that name too because he knows there's power in that name. Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But did that stop them? Of course not. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They are saying, we can't help it. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They couldn't hold back. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful miracle. Done in the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. And if you've been washed in the blood, if you've been buried in baptism, then you have that power of that name. You can use that name too, just as James and John did. But if that name doesn't belong to people and they try to use it, they can find themselves in a bit of trouble. In fact, why don't we go to the 19th chapter of Acts, and we're going to see what happens when people who have no right to that name try to use it. And I will start with verse 1, even though it's kind of a little further back than we need to go. But I'd like to get a running start at it. And it's a wonderful thing that happens at the beginning of the 19th chapter, too. So we'll read that as well. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They had never heard of it. But you know, we should all have the Holy Ghost. As God's children, we should have that Holy Ghost, His Spirit dwelling inside us. We all need that. How are we going to make it in this world without that?
Amen.
And He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So they had been baptized by John the Baptist, and that was a valid baptism, but that was before Jesus was glorified, and now they were to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And they baptized in the name of Jesus back there because they knew that that was the name that had the power. There's power in that name, power to wash away our sins, to cleanse us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's not the water that does it. It's the name of Jesus that does it. That's why we need that name. And they didn't protest. When they heard this, they were excited about it, and they didn't hesitate at all. Right away, they were baptized, it tells us. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Praise the Lord. Power of the name of Jesus. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we know that Paul, he would do that. We studied the book of Acts last year, and he would go into synagogue and he would dispute there and he would persuade men concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So, he was in the school of a man named Tyrannus, who was a philosopher, or a scholar, and so forth, and Paul was there, and doing what he would do, dispute with people and tell them about Jesus and so forth. So that's where he ended up, and he was there for quite a while. In fact, verse 10 tells us, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that salvation isn't just for the Jews?
Amen.
It's for all who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, upon that mighty name. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So many miracles were being done by Paul because the Spirit of Jesus Christ was working through him. He had access to that name. He had a right to that name because he had repented of his sins. He had been washed in the blood. He had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so he could use that name. But there were men, certain vagabonds, it tells us in verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now that's a bit of a third-hand address there. You see, they had no right to the name of Jesus. They didn't even know who he was. All they saw were the miracles being done by Paul, and they thought, well, we're going to try this and we're going to see what happens because that name seems to have power. And it does. But if that name doesn't belong to you, if you don't have a right to it, if you're not a child of the king, you're going to get in trouble for trying to use that name. As these men found out the hard way, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Praise the Lord. You know, that's good. The devils know Jesus. They know who he is, and they know about his power, the power of his name. So this evil spirit's talking, and they'll do that sometimes. Don't let it frighten you, because you have the name of Jesus. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? See, this evil spirit knew that that name didn't belong to them. He knew that they had no right to use it. He knew Jesus, and he knew Paul, but These men, they had no right to use that name. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Praise the Lord. We need to magnify that name of the Lord Jesus today. Praise the Lord. There is power in that name. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together. Witchcraft, that's what it's referring to. They brought curious arts. And all of these people had been involved in that thing and in that stuff, occult things and so forth. They brought all the works of their curious arts. And they did something wonderful. They burned them. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That was a great deal of money. 50,000 pieces of silver. That's how much all their stuff was worth. But they burned it. Praise the Lord. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Praise the Lord. So we see, there is great power in that name of Jesus. In fact, it is the most powerful name in all of the universe.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. And in Philippians, the second chapter, we're going to learn something about our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Something we should all know already, but it's good to have a refresher course sometimes. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves." Praise the Lord. And we know that that is the attitude we must have in the church, to look at everyone else as being better than yourself. And if everyone does that, there won't be any strife in the church. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, he's saying, don't just focus on yourself. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." You know, he came as a servant, a righteous servant that you can read about in the book of Isaiah. And yes, he did come as a servant, but he was glorified. And he was exalted, not just exalted, but highly exalted, exalted above all others, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There is no name in this universe greater than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Yes, he is Lord. And that name, there is power in that name. It is the name above every name. There is no name mightier than that name. Praise the Lord. That name of Jesus, that precious name of Jesus. And of course, we know that the name Jesus means Savior. And of course, Christ means the Anointed One or the Messiah. So there is power in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I get a little upset sometimes when people say you can't use the name of Jesus. There are people out there who try to prevent you from using the name of Jesus. But it is a valid name. And there is power in that name. There are some people out there who say you have to use Yeshua. But you know what? The name Yeshua and the name Jesus are actually the same name. You see, we're Americans here and we speak the English language. So, in English, his name is Jesus. That's why I say Jesus. And we know there's power in that name. So if anybody tries to tell you that name doesn't work, tell them they're too late because you've seen it work. You know it works. And there's nothing wrong with using the name Yeshua if you really want to do that, but it's not necessary. Because like I said, it's the same name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is great power in that name. And I want to go to one last place in Scripture before we close. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to learn a little something about the power of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, it tells us in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Praise the Lord, that's wonderful. And they were praying for these people all the time, that God would be with them and strengthen them. And I'll tell you what, prayers do work when you pray in that mighty name of Jesus. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And there is hope laid up for us in heaven even today. It's our inheritance that we talked about last week, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So that was a faithful minister they had there at the church at Colossae. A man named Epaphras, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And when we come to the Lord, we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We don't just stay the same. You know, we read the Scriptures, we study His Word, and we grow. We have to grow. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. You know, you might read the Bible, reading the book of Genesis about how Enoch didn't die, how he was translated into God's kingdom, and the same thing can happen to you. When we leave this world, we pass through a doorway into eternity, and we are told in the Scriptures that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Praise the Lord, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know, the Scriptures does tell us that God is invisible, but Jesus is the image of that invisible God. You know what? When you get to heaven, it's Jesus who you will behold. It's Jesus who you're going to see, because He is the image of the invisible God. He is the only way you can see God, because He is that image. You can't see invisible things, can you? But you can see Jesus, because He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. People might look at that and think that's strange. How could Jesus have created all these things? Did He exist before He came to this earth? Well, yes. Yes, He did. In fact, if you remember in the book of John, He said, before Abraham was, I am. In that verse, He identified Himself as the great I am. There is great power in that name of Jesus. In fact, Jesus Christ is the Creator.
Amen.
That's what it's telling us right here. He created all things. All things. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. All fullness of the Godhead. It dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has all power in heaven and in earth. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. See there, He has all power in heaven and in earth. In fact, He's the Creator. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see, Jesus, as you recall in Matthew 28, He said, Lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world, and He is with us. But if you start to feel separated from God, you're the one that moved, not Him. And you know what separates us from God? Sin. Every time you sin, there's more and more separation, but thankfully, we can be reconciled to God. So that we can be unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's the power of the name of Jesus. The power to save. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. In my flesh for His body's sake. Which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known that is what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our hope. Christ in us. Praise the Lord, the Spirit of God dwelling inside us. Praise the Lord, because there is no name more powerful than the name of Jesus. And when you have Jesus living inside you, you have a right to that name. You have a right to use that name. Praise the Lord. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise the Lord. Jesus. He is not only a mighty worker of miracles, but He has the name which is above every name, a name more powerful than any other name in the universe, a name that saves. By faith in that name, we can have salvation, and we can have that hope. Christ in us, that hope of glory. Praise the Lord. And when you have access to that name, you will see and experience many wonderful things. Because there is no name greater than the name of the Lord Jesus. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for Thy Scripture, thanking Thee for Thy Holy Word, thanking Thee for the understanding that we have Thy name which we can call upon, that name that saves us, that name by which Thou hast brought us salvation. And we thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, and we pray that we would never forget Thy Word. We pray that Thy Word would sink down deeply into our hearts and have an impact on us. We pray that we would meditate on Thy Word each and every day. Amen. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us as we go forth from this place today. We ask that Thy Spirit would be upon us, for we know that Thy Spirit is the hope of our glory. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to be with us each and every day. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, that powerful, mighty name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. If you have your chorus book handy, we are going to sing number 77, In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me, dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.